So today's lesson is about, okay, and here's the list.
Thank you.
Yeah, so today's lesson we're gonna be talking about is winning the battle for good. This is what we're, in a troubled world, that's what we're studying now. Studies in the armor of God, Ephesians 6. We're studying the keys to victory in the battles. And so far, we have discovered that we must, A, depend on God's strength, not our own, if we want to be victorious. We must put on the belt of truth, which we've talked about what that means, that holds everything together. We must look to God and His Word, which is where we find truth, and allow everything else to be gathered up around this truth. And then last week, we studied putting on the breastplate of righteousness, meaning we must engage in upright, virtuous living that guards our hearts from the arrows and temptations of the enemy from the exterior, and then that keeps our hearts supple and open to the nudges of God's voice in the interior. And we spoke about practicing the virtuous living is, doing what we can in little ways, and how that strengthens us for doing the harder asks in the future. I quoted to you one of my favorite saints, St. Anthony of the Desert, and he said, y'all remember the quote, practice until what? Practice becomes
habit.
Habit becomes nature. Yeah, okay. And we can change. Remember we talked about putting on your seatbelt. That's kind of like an automatic thing. You know, like we can, old dogs can learn new tricks, and I'm not calling anyone here an old dog. And we talked about how taking an offense is the bait of Satan, the scandal on, and it'll put sort of like a hard coating around your heart. And it makes it hard to hear God's voice, gentle, loving voice. But once we do forgive and act and reconcile, then the trap is released, and we're able to move forward. And then we saw that virtuous living by God's grace is not only then a prophylactic coating, like the breastplate, but it also is a healing medicine to our hearts. That's oftentimes when they're pierced, but virtuous living and doing the right thing, not taking the offense, doing what we should do, is this breastplate of righteousness that guards our heart, and from that all the springs of life flow. And now today we're moving on to lesson 6, and so to lesson 4, and we read in Ephesians 6:15 this. It says, that having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. So we're going to be talking about our peace shoes today. And according to theologian Peter Williamson, Roman soldiers wore military sandals, sometimes a half boot, not to shield their feet from blows, but to equip them for traveling great distances. And if you read in your lesson, we also learned that they have spikes in the bottom, that almost like golf shoes or football cleats. And I love the idea that we are our feet are shod with the gospel of peace that will enable us to go the distance. So practically speaking, according to medical research, as much as 90%, if you can imagine, of illnesses and diseases are stress-related. And just to name a few, I'm going to tell you, high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, heart disease, IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, tension headaches, high blood pressure. Get this, now research, Alzheimer's, the common cold, obesity and depression, all related to stress. Isn't that incredible? So if we want to be able to go the distance in life, and I mean in every way, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, we definitely need to learn to boot up, right, with the peace boots of God, so we can take the peace which surpasses all comprehension with us, no matter where we go. So let's take a deep dive and see exactly what this means. So the journey we must take in life will probably lead down some very difficult paths. And I know the stories of many of the women in this room and those that have been in this room, and I know their stories have not all been easy. And that's why it's so important that we must take our peace with us wherever we go. This will ensure that we always are firmly standing firm, no matter the terrain, no matter if it's smooth sailing or rough going, rocky terrain. Personally speaking, as most of you probably know, these past 2 years for my husband and family and I have been quite the doozy. For those who don't know, 2 Christmases ago, our home was broken into by an arsonist, and it was set ablaze with multiple fires throughout the house, and so we basically lost everything. Thankfully, no people or pets were in the house at the time. But through it, I can say that we have had incredibly an unbelievable peace, one that we can only say was supernatural. And supernatural means above the natural. It just means above the natural. And but every now and again, during this 2-year process, if I got my eyes on my circumstances and all that was happening and off of God, I, like Peter, would start to sink.
Yeah.
I would go under. I was trying to imagine, like, every now and again, it would just be, like, super smooth, or all was good, and then it was like, have y'all ever been in the kitchen and dropped a glass, and you're barefooted? And you don't know kind of which way to go, because there's shards everywhere. It's like a landmine field, and that's what it was like. It was like, oh, you know, just having to watch every step, and hopefully, you know, you didn't get barbed, you know, and it was just a really difficult time. And instead of surfing on the top of the waves with Jesus, you know, I would go under. But if I did this thing, if I kept my eyes on God, renewing my mind to the truth of who He is, which is an all-powerful God, and what He can do, which is anything and everything, because all things are possible with God, and who I am, His beloved child, and what I can do by His grace, which is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then if I could cast that anxiety, that care onto the Lord, and then leave it there, I think many of us cast and then take it right back up again. But the secret I found is to not picking it back up, because then that's eyes on the problem. It's keeping your eyes on the answer. And you do that through praise. Praise. We're going to learn a little bit more about that. And as a matter of fact, if you're, I don't know where I put it. So I wrote a book about it. Oh, here it is. And we're gonna talk about this the last 3 weeks of our time together. I'm going to just take a deep dive into the book. I think you'll really enjoy it. I've done some conferences on it, and so I'm going to take y'all through in 3 weeks what we've done at these women's conferences. But it's called Worry to Wonder, A Catholic's Guide to Finding Peace Through Scripture, but it's really for anybody. It's just put out by Catholic Press. So anyway, I think you'll really enjoy it, especially if you're a natural-born worrier, such as myself. But thanks be to God, I wrote the book before the whole fire event, and so it really was a lifeline for me. But so Father Jacques Philippe says this. He says, the most encouraging and beautiful words, they're profound, and they're hugely comforting. And if you haven't read the book, Searching For and Maintaining Peace, I highly, highly recommend that book. That might be a great thing for you to do over Lent, Searching For and Maintaining Peace by Father Jacques Philippe. So just close your eyes for a minute as I read these beautiful words that he gives us. All right, so Jesus states in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. When the Lord affirms that He gives us peace, that He gives us His peace, These words are divine words. Words which have the same creative force as the words that brought the sky and the earth from the void. They carry the same weight as the words that quieted the storm. The words that healed the sick and brought the dead back to life. Since Jesus tells us even twice that he gives us his peace, we believe that this peace is never taken away. God's gifts and his calling are irrevocable, according to Romans 11:29. In Jesus, we may always abide in peace because he has conquered the world, because he is resurrected from the dead. By his death, he conquered death. And Romans 8:31 says, and with God on our side, who can be against us? Who could ever separate us from the love of Christ? Okay, you can open your eyes now. Beautiful. Is it not? God and his words are the same yesterday, today, and forever. They still carry the same weight, which means glory, and they still possess the same power. Jesus gives us his peace. And what is that? It's himself. He has come to live in us, so we get him. And with him, he brings all the goodies: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Remember last week I told you that Paul was an eschatological New Covenant Jew, which meant he believed that at the end of the world there would be this New Jerusalem and the righteous dead would rise and go to live with him into God's kingdom. That's what the Pharisees believed. And that somehow then, once Christ appeared to him mysteriously with the death of Christ, the whole world was changed. That in some way, with the birth, death, and resurrection of Christ, the world as we knew it was over and all things were made new. And we now live in this in-between, this between the old ways and the new world has come. But we still live here in this in-between time. But we have now the supernatural means of living in this fallen world. With Christ came a new way of living because God dwells in us. So the kingdom has come and it's in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us and enables us to do things we could never do on our own in this broken and fallen world. Jesus states, I have told you these things so that you will have peace. Now then he goes on to say this, kind of interesting, huh? In this world, you will have trouble. But take courage. I've conquered the world. I've conquered the world. The doesn't matter. You're going to have trouble, but guess what? Guess who's conquered the world and lives in us?
Jesus.
Right. So when we travel with this confidence, having shod our feet in the gospel of peace, the very good and powerful news that Christ lives in us, and we are then able to stand firm no matter our circumstances. And then to share this peace, this good news, with our very troubled and needy world. So what is really crazy is this. I was praying about this lesson and I asked God to show me something I had not seen before. And if y'all don't know, I really love shoes.
I have a great shoe, or I had a great shoe collection. It's starting again. I kept some of the old ones just to look at them. You can't wear them because they're all black on the inside. Never mind. But anyway, but they were beautiful. Anyway, I really love shoes. And I almost wore some really fancy shoes today. But then I decided, no, it's talking about the boots a piece. So guess what my husband did? He actually put peace signs. I don't know if you can see them on the bottom of all
these. Oh, yeah. That's great.
I'll show you guys later. So I think we would all do well to put peace signs on the bottom of all of our shoes.
That's good.
Because wherever we go, we take our peace with us, right? Cool, huh? So I asked God to show me something. And he brought to mind the other time supernatural shoes were given in the Bible. And just for any of you sword drill kids, anybody remember? Yeah, sword drill. Do you remember the other time supernatural shoes were given in the Bible? Anybody? All right. It was in the Exodus. The shoes never wore out. Thank you very much. All right. In the wilderness wanderings, when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, and the Lord told Moses to make a tabernacle, a place where his spirit would dwell on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. And it was to be this movable church, this movable temple, so that the children of Israel could take it with them in their wanderings. And he would be right in the middle, the way, if you've ever studied it, all the tribes were camped around it, and God was right in the middle of them. God told Moses to ask the children of Israel, which we think at this time, based on the numbers of the men and the children and the wives, was about 3 million. That's a lot. To give gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, and this very mysterious thing. Anybody remember what the weird, mysterious thing is? They've translated it. If you look in your Bible, depending on your translation, there's so many different translations. Some say porpoise skin, some say badger skin. Some say fine goat skin, all right? Some even say, if you can imagine, unicorn hide, because there's one translation that says it was made from an animal, and instead of it being a plural horn, it said one horn, so they thought, oh, well, where's the unicorn? Anyway, but now they believe that this word, the Hebrew word, is called takash. And it's skins in Hebrew, but they couldn't figure out what it was. And it says that everybody should give these things so that God could dwell in their midst, so they could make this tabernacle. And out of these things, the tabernacle was made. And each person then gave what they had been given. Now, where did they get this stuff? Now, that was the other crazy thing. Well, they'd been given it by their Egyptian slave keepers, their masters when they were in Egypt. After the 10 plagues, the Bible says the Egyptians basically paid the Israelites to leave. Exodus 12:33-36 says, the Egyptians, in a hurry to send them away from the land, urged the people on, for they said, all of us will die. And 34, the people therefore took their dough before it was leavened in their kneading bowls, wrapped in their cloaks on their shoulders, and the Israelites did as Moses had commanded them. They asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing.
Wow.
Indeed, the Lord had made the Egyptians so well disposed toward the people that they let them have whatever they asked for. And so they despoiled or plundered Egypt. Have y'all ever heard the expression, they plundered Egypt? This is where it came from. It's biblical. It's so crazy. Then we read in Exodus 25:1 that the Lord said to Moses, speak to the people of Israel that they take for me a contribution. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall receive the contribution for me. We read that the people gave and gave and gave. In Exodus 36:4, the craftsman came to Moses and said, we have more than enough gold, silver, and all. Please restrain the people from bringing more. Can you imagine? Please restrain the people from bringing more offerings to God. Moses commanded, let no man or woman do anything more for the contributions for the sanctuary. So the people restrained from bringing forth the material what they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. So we see the people gave what they had to God to build his house. And here is what God gave them in return. Not only his presence, living in the center, dwelling there in their midst. But get this, in Deuteronomy 29:5, we read, "Yet the Lord says, during the 40 years that I led you through the wilderness, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. You ate no bread and drank no wine, other fermented drink. I did this that you might know that I am the Lord your God." All right, so then we read in Ezekiel 16:10, when God is talking about this incident, that their sandals on their feet were made from this mysterious word, the Tasha, which now they have come to believe meant beautiful beaded work. Beautiful beaded work. And you can read all about it. I brought the article on Torah.com. And how they've come to believe this. But what's really beautiful is they come out of Egypt, right? Well, guess where the word comes from? It's this beaded work that they found that they would adorn these mummies and beautiful clothing. But look at this. Wow. These are King Tut's shoes.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Are they beaded?
They're beaded.
Interesting.
Gold beads. Mm. Golden beaded sandals. If they got to take anything they wanted, don't you bet they took their shoes? They turned in their old slavery garments for something beautiful. And guess what? God made it so they never wore out. For 40 years, they got to look down at their feet. And God said, "I did it." So they'd know I was God. I could do anything. Excuse me. They took their this beautiful, beautiful thing that God had done. He released them from bondage. He always clothes us with beauty and goodness. He did it. Why? Because they gave everything to him as an act of worship. Ladies, when we give our all to God, he does the same for us. It says he gives us these peace boots that will go the distance, that will take us wherever we need to go. What an absolutely beautiful, beautiful thing for God to do. And especially for those of you that like shoes, God gave them these miraculous, durable shoes, allowed for their shoes to never wear out, nor their clothes. Why? Because they had given God their everything with a very thankful heart. And in return, he protected them, literally from the tip of their head to the soles of their feet. With these beautiful, I believe, beaded shoes, this word beaded sandal, and that blessed them somehow that they would never wear thin. So I ponder, what kind of peace shoes does God give you? What does he give us? He gives us the same kind. When we give what we have to him, entrusting our whole selves to him and to his safekeeping, trusting in his goodness, his power, his love, remembering all that he has done for us. You know, in the Bible, again and again and again, you can read the story of the Exodus again and again in the Psalms. They always remember what God had done for them. He didn't, the psalmist never wanted them to forget or for it to grow old. And we have to, ladies, we have to constantly renew our minds to truth as well. Because the enemy of our soul loves to get our eyes off of God, off of who he is and what he has done for us, and onto the immediate. And that's where this word anxiety, it's pretty interesting. The word anxiety actually means to be pulled apart, to be pulled in different directions. And the beautiful thing is, when we can kind of zoom out, we can see the big picture of where God has brought us, you know, where we are in the big picture, and not get centered in on just this one moment, this anxiety-filled moment. And so God, in his great vastness, we must remember to look up, renew our minds to who God is and what his truth is. Renew our minds to who he is and what he can do, who we are and what we can do through him. And then cast that care upon the Lord. And then praise, praise, praise. And what that does is that is just like the children of Israel. We're giving him all of these things that are causing us anxiety, all of the old things from our past. Just give it to him. Give it to him. And then start praising and build a tabernacle of praise so that he can come and inhabit your whole being, right? And that's what brings us this peace. It brings us this peace. And I love that God is still in the business of freeing us from bondage. Whatever is holding you in bondage, even now, we can, with great confidence, give him that, knowing that he can take care of it. We can abandon ourselves to him. We can even know, believe it or not, that he can draw somehow good out of bad. Now, he doesn't turn bad into good, but he draws good out of bad. And personally speaking, I've seen that in my own life. I've seen it with this, what's happened with our home. We rebuilt, as my husband said, build back better. We were building back, he's an architect, we built back better. But he can turn even the tragedy and loss and suffering into victory dance if we let him. He shods our feet in peace, and we take the kingdom, the peace with us. God predisposed the Egyptians to give his people what they would need to build a house for him. Then he gave his people the choice. You can either keep it yourselves, or you can give it to me. And they gave, and they gave, and they gave out of such a grateful heart. And they gave it back to him, knowing what? That it was from his hand they got it to begin with.
Right.
Ladies, all that we have comes from the hand of God, and we can give it back to him. We can give all back to him. And he turns it into something beautiful. God blessed them with something even better than their temporary riches. He gave them eternal riches. He also gave them eternal, I think it was a sign to show them that his goodness never runs thin, his provision never runs short. So he gave them something. He gave them these supernatural shoes that would go the distance. You know, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. He is beyond generous. You can imagine what it must have been like then, 40 years later, to look down and see those same beautiful shoes as a reminder that you can't outgive God, of his mercy, of his love, and his provision. And that's what he gives us through Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Exodus. And that is why we are able to wear the supernatural shoes of peace, shoes that will take us all the way to our promised land, to heaven. And what's even crazier is we have heaven. We can experience heaven here on earth. And so we can take this heaven with us wherever we go. Our supernatural priest shoes are like walking around in God's kingdom. Now, here on earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We not only have peace with God through Jesus Christ, but we have the peace of God living inside each of us. Do you want supernatural peace shoes? Shoes that will enable you to stand firm no matter what? Shoes that will enable you to go the distance mentally, physically, spiritually? Then turn in your old slavery sandals. Those are the shoes we wear when we are not walking in peace. And they are ill-fitting, and they cause blisters and pain. And put on your supernatural peace shoes. We do this through renewing our mind to the truth and then offering what we have to God, even if it's just right in the moment, our anxiety or our worry. And then we build a tabernacle of praise, enabling him to come in and live in us. And he gives us then that supernatural peace that surpasses all comprehension so that we can live joyfully and victoriously. Paul writes in Philippians 4:4-9, rejoice in the Lord just when it's good.
Always.
And then he says it again. And again, I say rejoice. I love this. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds, I'm gonna add your feet, in Christ Jesus. And he then goes on to say the secret of how this is done, to keeping your peace boots on. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So just think about those sort of like the little beads on our shoes, right? Think about all these beautiful things. Whatever you have learned and received and heard from me or seen in me, put them into practice. That's what we were talking about last week. It's acting virtuously that is guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Put it into practice. And guess what he says? And the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. So we walk it out. We walk out what we know. So we're going to ask now that the Lord would bring to mind any anxious thoughts that we might be feeling, any anxieties that we have, any of these old sandals that we're still wearing, our old Egyptian bondage clothing. And then we're going to ask for the grace to entrust these anxieties, these worries, to him, abandoning ourselves to him, being transformed by his power, his presence, and his peace. And remember, if you start back down that path of anxiety, because it can happen, you can be going along great and then get triggered by something. Stop and see where you kicked off your beautiful peace juice. Stop, retrace your steps and see, what caused that? And then pray about that. Ask once again for the grace and the faith to abandon yourself once again to the power of God and his presence and his peace. And reshod, and get back on the road. Get right back on the road. All right, the peace, because we take our peace with us and we get right back in the fight because God does not want us to miss a minute of the good stuff with him. Okay, so now we're gonna close in prayer and just close your eyes for a minute. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, we just thank you that you are a God of peace and that you bring us peace and that we can experience peace in spite of circumstances, because you are our peace, and that your word is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and that all things we see in the old is concealed, but in the new revealed, all things point to you. And here we go, Lord, you give us this peace that surpasses all comprehension as little boots to walk forward, to take with us wherever we go, in spite of circumstances. So Lord, I ask now, if we're not standing in little puddles of peace and peace shoes, show us now, Lord, show us, you say in the psalmist, show us our anxious thoughts. Show us our anxious hearts, Lord. Where is it that we're experiencing anxiety in our life right now? Show us, Lord. Lord, as an act of the will, we just want to cast, I just like to brush it off, cast these cares upon you because you care for us. You're all powerful. You're all loving. You're a great and mighty God. With you, all things are possible. And Lord, we ask now that you would replace this anxiety with your peace, a spirit of peace that surpasses all comprehension, that would come guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, bring us your peace. And now, Lord, we praise you. We thank you that you are a good God and that you have brought us safe this far, and you haven't brought us this far to leave us. So, Lord, we entrust ourselves to you, and we praise you, and we want our whole selves to be a tabernacle. Your spirit inhabits us, so we are a tabernacle. May we be a tabernacle of praise to you. Come, Lord. May we get our eyes off of you, the answer, and back on the worries. Lord, help us to glance back up at you again and say, thank you, God. We praise you because you are worthy of our praise. Only you are worthy. So, Lord, help us today to praise you again and again and again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this good word. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave or forsake us. That you go before us and behind us, and you lead us forth in victory. May we go forth today in the victory of peace. We ask this now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, I just love Diana's lesson today, and I really hope that you'll get to it, but there were some particularly good things in it, and one of them is just the little extra writings that she had. So if you don't do anything, you know, don't be sure and look at that even if you don't get to it in your small group. All right, God bless you. We won't see you next week. Hopefully we'll see you in the National Gallery of Art. That will help us to fully live our Lent in a really beautiful way, and then we'll be back the following week for Helmet of Salvation. So hope to see you there. All right.